Welcome back into the La Crosse Tribune UBL Football Podcast. My name is Colton Bartholomew, and I am your beat reporter here at the Tribune for UBL Football and all of college sports. And I'm here to apologize. I have to start off with that because on the preview podcast, if you listened to it from earlier this week, I told you that I thought this was going to be a blowout. I told you that I thought UBL Football was going to be able to kind of take Platteville out of their game and really exploit some of the weaknesses they had. And at some points, they did. But it was very close, as we'll break down into this game. 35-28 win for UWL. Really kind of a hold-your-breath type of game all afternoon for UWL. Outside of the first couple of minutes where it looked like it was going to be a blowout, then everything kind of turned in the second quarter, and then the whole second half was kind of a hold-your-breath, just kind of white-knuckle type of game where every mistake UWL made, it seemed like Platteville was going to be able to capitalize, but at the end of the day, UBL found a way, and we'll get into all of that. And I also want to apologize for trashing the Dodgers so much because I didn't realize that they were going to play an 18-inning game on Saturday or on Friday night. Make me stay up till 3 in the morning and then stew till about 4 and then have to play again tonight on Saturday. That's why we're recording right now. I'm going to get it up on the website quickly here before the World Series starts. So, lots to unpack in this game. 35-28. If you're somebody that follows this conference or has been around it for a long time, you know that's a WIC game. Maybe Platteville's beat up. Maybe they don't have everybody that they should on the field. But at the end of the day, they're still going to be tough. They're still going to be a well-coached team. And they're still going to be able to do enough things that makes it tough for the opposing team, which in this case was La Crosse, who I think was the better team. They're going to make it tough for them to win. And in La Crosse's sense, that even if you've got an opponent that's kind of beat up, coming off a tough loss at home, you've still got to play your best, and in no way did La Crosse do that. This is not their best game. Anyone that watched the game knows that. But they still found a way. They got things done in the end of the game. The last 8 minutes of the fourth quarter was really, I think, the best little short stretch of football La Crosse has played on each side of the ball, and that's what we're going to get into. So, quick show rundown. Because there's so much going on in this game, there's so much to kind of unpack from it. A little cliche, but we're just going to go, you know, phase by phase. Special teams, defense, and offense. We're going to just kind of talk about the key plays in each one of those phases and what that side did to ensure that UWL was able to pull out this win against UW Platteville. All right, so let's start with special teams because, in my opinion, watching this game, when you're looking at scoring points, setting the offense up in good positions, flipping the field, I think special teams really kind of was the swing point of this game because offensive and defensively, it was pretty even for Platteville and La Crosse, but La Crosse definitely dominated special teams. We got to start with Jake Simonchak. We talked about him on the preview podcast, inching closer to records in UWL program history for kick return yards, leading the nation in combined kick returns. And then he goes out and has his best day of the season in all categories. Not only kick returns, but he also got involved in the offense, had a 70-yard touchdown on the third play of the game. Just a really great game for him. But what he did in the kick game that he does so well, and it's kind of his MO and what UWL teaches its return people, is not only always catch the ball. That's the number one goal for the UWL return is catch the ball, even if it's a fair catch, because there's no reason to lose those yards for letting it bounce when you could just fair catch it and save the offense those yards. So that's really, I was talking to Jake Simonchak after the game, that's one of the first things he said, that at the end of the day, his number one goal is to catch the ball. But what he's showing is that when he does catch the ball, he's able to do some special things with it. He showed more elusiveness today against Platteville than I think he has throughout the whole season. And he just was shifting in and out of cuts and moving around guys and catching the edge. He had some great blocking. He's always a guy that credits the blocking on the returns. And he got some good blocks. He was able to just make guys miss in the open field where it was like, you know, a couple of players converge on him, and it's like, okay, well, that was a solid return, you know, 8-10 yards, good job, get the offense out there, and then you look down again, it's like, oh, shoot, he's already broken that tackle, and now he's going again for another 15. So a great return game out of him. No return that he had. He had some great ones, a kick return that he had out to the 50. Really set the offense up for the tying score in the third quarter after Platteville had all the momentum. And so that got the offense going a little bit. But then what he did in the fourth quarter, after the defense had pinned back Platteville and made him punt from their own end zone, Simonchak catches the ball about midfield, returns it 26 yards, almost had the edge on the east sideline, and it looked like he was going to go for a touchdown. He really seemed like he caught the corner and was going to be able to get around. He said that if he needed had about one or two more yards of separation, and he would have been gone. But either way, it set the offense up with great field position to, even if they would have been three and out and gained no yardage, obviously that would have been disappointing, but it would have allowed for a field goal try, and that would have put lacrosse in the lead. The offense scored four plays later and got the win. That gave the final score 35-28. So I think Simonchak's where you got to start special teams-wise. A great game out of him, and make sure you're watching lacrossetribune.com the next couple of days. Be up Sunday evening and Monday morning. Have a story about him and just his impact on Saturday's game and really the whole season. He's been one of the standouts on this team this year. And then you've also, looking at special teams, you got to talk about Sean Parker, the sophomore punter. He only punted three times today. And when you only punt three times, it usually means good things to the offense. But his three punts were all bombs. You know, he really just flipped the field each time he went onto the field. No punt that he had was bigger or more impactful than it was either. It was late in the third quarter or early in the fourth quarter. He had a 65-yard punt that basically went from UWL's about 20 down to the opposite 15. And when you're punting from your own 20, you're hoping that you're not going to give the ball to the other team too close to midfield, but you're kind of just deciding, hey, let's make sure that they have to work for the yardage. But Parker puts the boot on the ball and just bombed this one 60 yards with a nice roll. Stopped it down, I think it was about the 14-yard line, and just an incredible kick. And one of those kind of, you don't think about it as like the thing that jumps out from a game when you win close like that. There's some other plays that happened that jumped to your mind first. But Sean Parker's flip of the field there, giving the UWL defense a chance to make Platteville earn a score, ended up getting a stop near midfield. But it was a tremendous kick from him, and he had a couple of more. And you've got to watch when Sean Parker punts. He's a guy that likes to he likes to celebrate. He breaks out the old pitching wedge and does a couple of golf dance moves out in the field. It's pretty funny when he has a good kick. So make sure in the next UWL game you come to, watch closely after a good punt for Sean Parker's moves. But just a great game out of him. And he's a guy that I know when Mike Schmick recruited him, they had some punting turnover. He knew he had a big leg. They just needed to make sure that he was consistently having that kick. We've seen a couple of games where he's had one off his side of his foot or stuff like that. But I think today was one of his better consistent punting days. And then obviously, like I said, just a flip of the field there that really gave the UWL a lot of momentum on defense in the second half. And then you've got to also mention for the special teams, the punt block unit. They had a punt block return for a touchdown for the third time this year. Cole happened to be Cole Speaker for the third time, scooping the ball up and scoring. Obviously, you know, lacrosse, when you're doing that consistently like lacrosse is, or getting pressure on a punt consistently, it's a combination of having good players, and they do. Obviously, Cole Speaker is one of the best players in the conference. Elijah McGeehan's a guy that gets in there on the pressure. I think he ended up blocking today's. He wasn't credited for it, but I think when they go back in the film and look at it, they'll fix that. But Elijah McGeehan gets in there and pressures the ball, gets his hand on it, sometimes he'll get the other, you know, the opposing blocker's bodies onto it. He's the guy that's not afraid to run into the wedge and just kind of blow it up. So, like I said, so you have good players running these a good scheme. That's really the balance of a good special teams unit. And you look at those two guys, Elijah McGeehan, Cole Speaker, those are two of the most important guys on the team right now. Cole Speaker, the most important guy on offense, and then Elijah McGeehan, you know, with the injuries they've had and him stepping into the middle linebacker role in the last few weeks, He's really been the most important defender from a whole defense standpoint, relaying the calls, all that type of stuff. So you got two of your best players out on special teams making big plays. You get a block there, returning for a touchdown. They went up 14-0. They went up 14-0 with not even 90 seconds coming off the clock, and it just seemed like it was going to be a steamrolling for La Crosse. They had all the momentum. Platteville got some back, and then the whole second quarter happened, and we'll get into some of that. But just a really good game for the punt block unit, and this is a consistent thing for them. They're consistently getting after the punts, and they're finding a way to get that done. So, moving on to special teams. We've got to talk about the defense here. We'll start with the good things. At the end of the game, they got a ton of pressure on Brett Geis, the Platteville quarterback, and that was something they weren't doing throughout the game. Zach Zillmer, Black River Falls graduate, one of the best defensive linemen for UWL, gets three straight sacks on defensive plays. He had a second down sack and then a third down sack that set up that last punt for Platteville that Simonchek returned in the offense that eventually scored on. And then on the first down play of the next possession, so Platteville, you know they're going to be throwing. You know they've got to hurry up because time's run out in the game. He gets a 10-yard sack where he came off a nice stunt, just really bulldozed over Geis on that one, made him lose 10 yards, sets up a second and 20. And then I think, it was on second down. Platteville got 11 yards of it back, so now they're looking at third and, a manageable 9. And then Ryan Flathers gets after it, comes off the edge and just crunched Geis with a blindside hit, ended up making it a 4th and 21. Said play ends up being a pick, and that, he was also pressured. He got hit on that play as well. Noah Schober gets the pick, and then UWL runs it out from there. So the pressure that they got late in the game, without a ton of blitzing, they blitzed on one of the sacks, but they were able with the four down linemen and maybe one extra linebacker to get after the quarterback and finally keep him in the pocket. Talking to Zach Zillmer after the game, he said that was one of the keys, was finally keeping Geis in the pocket, because Geis is an athletic guy. He's quick. He moves around very, very well. He's actually played receiver and running back for UW-Platteville throughout this season, while also being the backup quarterback. So he's got the athleticism you need to run around and make some plays with his feet. And he did that very well on Saturday. Ended up with, I think, 360 yards and 4 touchdowns for Platteville. So a good day out of him. But in the final moments of this game, La Crosse really got after him. And Zillmer with 3 sacks. And then Flathers with another one. End up with 6 sacks. So pass rush, for the most part, at least in crunch time, got it done. One thing that they also did very, very well, sticking with the good stuff for the defense, the straight runs, where the legitimate handoffs, the normal run plays that UW-Platteville is trying to run, UWL did such a good job stuffing those. You look at the run stats at the end of the day, Platteville ends up with like 120 yards, but so much of that was guys scrambling that you have to kind of strip some of those away. It's like, okay, well, let's talk about real handoffs, real run, where it's offensive line versus front seven of a defense. La Crosse really won that battle all day today. Great job out of the defensive front to slow down the run game, make Platteville one-dimensional. But now let's get into the bad, because that kind of goes hand in hand. They made them one-dimensional, but then they couldn't stop the one dimension that was working, which was the pass game, but specifically out of the quads formation. So talking about the quads formation real quick, you've got 4 receivers to one side of the field, and the way Platteville was running it, they had another wide receiver to the other side. So a 5 wide receiver set, but those 4 wide receivers kind of made like a little bit of a diamond on that right side. Or they would maybe spread it out a little bit, but there would always be one of those 4 receivers backed up off the line, probably about 3 or 4 yards. Now, to me, I don't think La Crosse did a good enough job adjusting and getting enough defenders over there to stop what Platteville was doing. Because what Platteville did early and often was throw a little screen pass to the guy that was behind the line, in that formation, let the 3 wide receivers in front of him block, and then it was Kevon Johnson, one of their fastest players at Platteville. He catches the ball and just goes. So I personally didn't think La Crosse did enough early in the game to move people over there and stop those plays. But then you kind of saw why they couldn't commit everything to that four receiver set, because when they did put a bunch of people over there and try to slow it down, that's when guys would do a quarterback draw to the right where you've kind of vacated the area, or excuse me, to the opposite side of the four receivers where you've vacated the area defensively, and then he picks up a lot of yards. So that formation was really a trouble spot for lacrosse all afternoon. If I'm an opposing coach watching that, I'm going to throw a couple of those plays into my playbook against lacrosse, because I personally didn't think they did enough throughout the game. And even in the second half, talking to Mike Schmidt after the game, the head coach, he says, and I quoted him in the paper about it, he said they probably should have ran that formation more. They really didn't have a ton of ways to stop it, especially near the end of the game. The one time that they did stop it, they being Platteville in this sense, Platteville was in the that quads formation, but then tried to throw deep out of it, which was the first time they had tried to do that. But then when they did that, it became a third and long situation. To me, it was one of those rare times that you see a team do something again and again, and its opposition not adjust enough to it to kind of take it out. So I think that's one kind of knock you can make on the defense today, is that quads formation, they just did not adjust well enough to it, and they were lucky that it didn't burn them even more than it did. So when you talk about the defense there, you got to also mention the way that the secondary, I wouldn't say locked down the deep passes, but were challenging enough on the deep passes that they didn't call too many of them late in the game. What Platteville really relied on outside of that quads formation was taking a quick snap, seeing where their first couple of reads would be on slants or curls, kind of those quicker routes, but then letting guys run around. And at a certain point when you're playing that press man coverage like lacrosse does, when you're scrambling around as a quarterback and buying extra time, somebody's going to come open. It's just a fact of football. So I thought lacrosse did a pretty good job with the deep pass. They got burned on one, a pump fake. I think it was Max Brower on the far side of the field. He bit on a pump fake and then got beat deep on it. That stuff happens again, like when you're playing man. If you make one little mistake, it becomes so jarring because there's no help over top. So they did get beat one time deep, but I think overall the deep passes were pretty well locked up by lacrosse. It just became a situation of figuring out a way to stop that quads and just hope Platteville didn't get the ball back at the end. Offensively, this was kind of a classic game for this team. They look great, then they're a little bit rough. They look great, then they're a little bit rough. It's weird with the talent they have to watch this inconsistency. I know just so many of the guys are young and they're learning how tough this conference is, the grind of it week in and week out. And you also have to remember too, like at this point, unless they were on state championship or deep playoff runs, most of the time their season's been over. Like their physical bodies are used to being done with football around this time. So there's some of that, I think, creeping in with some of these young guys where they're just having to learn how to fight through all these things. But just one of those, this is, I feel like the identity of this offense is this super high highs and then some kind of low lows that they have to fight through and kind of mitigate as much as they can. Ben Shramsky, when you look at the stat sheet, looks like a pretty decent day. Only 50% completions, over 200 yards passing, 250 yards passing, four touchdowns. Two interceptions that were just really uncharacteristic. I was really surprised on the second one. The first one was just an underthrow, and that's going to happen. He had a little bit of pressure in his face on it, but just a little bit of an underthrow over the middle. Kid makes a nice play. But the second one was a little bit more on Shramsky in the sense of just that's a throw that you just don't make. He was rolling to his left, tried to throw back right, trying to make a play, but threw it back right over the middle. And that in this conference with the talent that's around here, that's always going to be a pick. And he knows that. And we talked about it after the game, just that was a mistake that he made. But I think the nice thing to see is that he throws that pick, and it's frustrating. You see that he's upset about it. He knows that was a mistake, but then he comes right back out and leads a touchdown drive in the third quarter to get the game tied. So nice bounce back from him, and a good job by the offense to kind of respond to those situations. The run game looked pretty good today. got some nice runs out of Jalen Clark and Austin Mankoski. It's kind of the stuff you expect to see, that they're carrying guys with them on the pile and able to run over guys. Didn't have anything break too big. I think their longest run was about 14 yards. But I think the way that the pass game was going, with so much being open downfield, you can't really blame the offense for kind of just relying on that, because the way that Cole Speaker was playing on the outside and things were opening up in the middle, there was a lot open pretty much every play. So throwing the ball downfield seemed to be the best option time and time again. The one thing that I think Platteville did a good job of defensively against UWL was disguising their pressure, because there were a couple of times where Stramsey would catch a shotgun snap and then there would be a defender immediately breaking through the line and just untouched. And that came from confusion. That came from guys dropping off when UWL's offensive line thought they were going to be coming on the rush, and guys coming from angles that they don't usually come. So you have to give credit to Platteville's defense in that sense for creating that confusion. I just thought that UWL's offensive line did a good job, I would say about 80% of the time, not getting confused and picking up the guys that were coming. It's just when you're facing that over and over again, a defense is just hoping that one of those times it works, and it did a couple of times on third downs especially. And I thought Platteville did, but it's also interesting, is a couple of times they just brought the house and just said, hey, if you can get the ball off fast enough and get a completion, it's probably going to be a big play. But they're betting that you couldn't, and today lacrosse couldn't. We've seen other times, like against Stevens Point, that same strategy ends up being a 50-yard touchdown, but today it worked out a little bit. So I think offensively it's just another case of they look great, they look like world beaters on offense on one drive, and then the next one, it's not there. For whatever reason, something doesn't click. There's a missed throw, there's a missed block, there's a missed running assignment, whatever it ends up being. It's just this team seems to be up and down on offense, and that seems to be their identity each week. And we got two more games here left. River Falls at home next week, and then at Eau Claire to finish the season. So we'll see how things change or improve, or if they stay the same and lacrosse just hopefully puts up enough points during those good drives that the bad ones don't matter too much in the end of the game. But that's going to do it for me. We will have more on lacrossetribune.com. Like I said, a little feature on Jake Simunchak coming up Sunday night into Monday. Read my game story on lacrossetribune.com about the Platteville game. Talked about that last sequence of events that really swung the game in lacrosse's favor, and especially the defensive pressure and how that stuff all kind of broke down. So lacrossetribune.com, and we will be back sometime in the middle of the week with another podcast. Hopefully have an interview this time. We'll have to figure that out. And hopefully the Red Sox finish this thing off in the weekend and make my life a little bit less hectic throughout the week. But thank you for listening, and we will be back in the middle of the week.